down once more when it does. It will even up the score, don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone. And the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does.
When it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does.
It will even up the score. Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live this Saturday morning, October 5th. Hey, yesterday was 10-4. That's okay with me. And today is October 5th, so we welcome you here. Let's bring them in on. We've got a full crew this morning. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
And we say good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And save the best for last. Good morning, Brother Tim, all the way from Nebraska.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
We're glad you're here as well. And we say good morning to you, the remnant. We are here. Pastor put this program together years and years ago, an opportunity to... And boy, when we first started, it was 5 a.m. in the morning we did this, so we could be 7 a.m. on the East Coast. And I'm glad that changed, I have to tell you that. Coffee with the Wranglers. We've got our Bible, and we've got our coffee, and we are of like minds, and so we gather in the name of Jesus Christ. And we'll have the phone lines open a little bit later this morning if you have a comment. But John, we'll look to you to open us up in prayer, sir.
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we come before you humbly but boldly, claiming the promises that you've given us as the sons of God. Lord, we thank you for this time that you set aside for us to come together to encourage one another to love and good deeds. Father, we ask that you would guide and direct our thoughts. Give us wisdom, understanding, and discernment as to what it is that your people need to hear, Father. Show us how to tie it in with prophecy and scripture. And Father, we ask that you would remember grace and mercy in your wrath, and that you would find us worthy to escape the things that are coming. Father, we thank you for our blessings, but we also thank you for our trials and tribulations. Lord, how often we forget that you use those things to refine us into the men and women that you want us to be, to serve you in your kingdom. And Father, we rejoice for all things, just as your word says. Lord, we thank you for the warrior psalm, Psalm 91, that He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, or the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with a long life, and will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Heavenly Father, we know that those are all promises that You've given us. Lord, when we abide in You, when we belong to You, when we've been washed in the blood, when we've been born again of the water and the Spirit. So we thank You, Lord. Thank You for all of Your promises. Thank You for all of Your blessings that You bestow upon Your people. Father, we ask that once again You would instill the fear of God in those that may have been deceived, Father, those that may have believed a lie, those that are on the path to destruction, but once knew You, Father. We ask that You would remove the scales from their eyes and unstop their ears, and that they would be able to hear and see the truth. Father, that they'd fall upon their face and cry out and ask for forgiveness before it's too late. We thank You that the things in the dark continue to be brought to the light and shouted from the rooftops. We thank You that there is confusion in the camp of the enemy, and that they're turning upon one another and devouring one another. Father, but we ask for justice, Father, righteous justice to take place, Lord. We ask for those that have committed these wicked, evil acts, Father, to be brought to Your justice, not man's justice. And that's the new prayer, Lord. You've answered the other prayers that we've put forth, and Father, we just pray for justice right now. We pray that Your justice would reign throughout the earth, Lord, and that once again, those people who have gone astray would remember to fear You. So, just show us what it is that You want us to do this morning, Lord. And we praise You and love You as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Wednesday night we had an urgent prayer request. John, didn't know if you had any further update on the young man that we had prayed for. It seemed the update that you did send out seemed like just an absolute miracle and answer to prayer.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually was at the hospital last night and anointed him and prayed over him, but it was interesting. I mean, you talk about answer to prayer, just asking that any damage that was done would not cause permanent harm, and that, you know, that healing would be accelerated, and all of these prayers are coming true. Yesterday he was already up and walking, and the nurses wanted him just to take a few steps, and he wanted to do laps around the floor. So, encouraging signs, but I had a chance to talk to him, pray over him, and bottom line was he said that he was not planning on committing suicide. And if you missed the prayer request, it was young 19-year-old man that, you know, has his struggles like everyone else. And he shot himself in the chest with 223. And by God's grace, mercy, and compassion, was given a second chance. But what he said was he didn't plan on doing it. It was all of a sudden. It was like he got the direction to shoot himself, and he didn't even think about it. He said he just grabbed the gun and pulled the trigger. And I was trying to explain to him just briefly how at some point in your life there's probably some door that was opened or some conduit to demons that was formed. You know, a lot of times it's, in this case, there was significant alcohol ingestion, but it can be drugs, alcohol, illicit sex, pornography is a big one, but all of those things are doors that you open that allow Satan legal ground to operate in your life. And the good news is that once we confess the sin and we ask for forgiveness, then that door is closed. And, but anyways, I want to work with him some more on that. He was receptive to it, and just praising God that he gets a second chance. And I said, well, but God wasn't done with you yet, because he foiled Satan's plan. And we anointed him and claimed him to the service of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, and said, Satan, you can't have this one. And so the parents were teary-eyed and thankful for all the prayers. I told them that we put it on the prayer chain right after I got the call that it happened. And just the things that progressed from there were amazing, how quickly it was turning in the favor of him not only surviving but thriving. So we just praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Oh, that our people would recognize the difference in those two voices that they hear. You know, the abundant life that Jesus Christ brings, or the lies that the enemy, who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and that, you know, that our people would recognize the difference there, and desire that abundant life that comes from Christ, and resist that thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, because the word is true, and when we resist, he flees, but when we don't. And that, I think that's something that is not taught to many of our people today, to resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that young man is has a second chance.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you can already see Romans 8:28 at work here. People are starting to see the power of prayer, you know, when it's multiplied throughout believers in the country and all throughout the world, and also the power of the anointing oil, the authority that we have as the sons of God that most people don't use. I mean, our pastor was big about telling us that we have authority. God's given us authority as the sons of God to do these things. You know, we had a couple messages about laying on of hands, and that we have, you know, the song Jeremy Kemp, that the same power that rose Jesus from the grave lives in us, and that's true if we have the faith. So I think it's I'm already starting to see the manifestation of Romans 8:28 in this this scenario. It's also bringing a lot of people in the Christian education community together to see the power of God working in a mighty way. So we're definitely standing on Romans 8:28 through this situation.
Amen. His ways are not our ways, but his ways are right and pure and proper and perfect. And he takes these messes and makes messages out of them. It's not that he causes the mess, but he fixes them and turns them for good. That's for sure. That is for sure.
Well, Jason, do you see anything coming down the pipe on us hot and heavy that the remnant need to know about?
Oh, there's stuff going on all over the place. You don't have to look very far to see that. One of the things, you know, you look at this, what's going on in this farming and ranching industry, and even not just, you know, not just here in the United States, but globally. It was pretty neat this last week over in Amsterdam. I mean, neat. It's sad as what they're trying to do to the farmers and ranchers over there, but it's good that they're rising up and they're protesting also. This week they had the Dutch farmers went on a go slow in their tractors, and they basically took the tractors to the interstates, and you know, they had thousands, 10,000 farmers pull their tractors out on the interstate and start heading down the interstate, and they headed, you know, basically they shut down traffic for hundreds and hundreds of miles. Shut down everybody because, you know, basically they're coming in there and they're saying, okay, your tractors are causing, are bad for the environment. Your cows, your livestock is bad for the environment. We're gonna cut back the number of animals you can have on your farm. We're gonna number the amount of tractors you're allowed to have. And, you know, basically it's like, you know, you talk about insanity because, you know, it's basically, it's, you know, you better know who your farmer is because that's where your food's coming from. You know, there's no food. I mean, no matter, you know, what these people want to talk about, you know, they want to talk about climate change and they want to change the environment. You don't have farms, you don't have farmers, you don't have food. End of story. That's the way it is. And, you know, it's not that really that hard to understand. But over there in Amsterdam, they're trying to, you know, Amsterdam is just one of the places. One of the places where it got bad enough where they finally had to revolt. But some of the pictures were just phenomenal. I mean, just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of tractors in different spots just going right down the interstate, and cars backed up for hundreds of miles. Basically couldn't get, they'd have tractors pull off on every exit ramp and stop it, and there was no way going around it. I mean, it was basically shut everything down. You know, and they
think
had
about that.
There's
nothing they could do about that. There's absolutely nothing they can do about that. And that's the biggest point of that whole deal there, is that everyone stands together. There's nothing that the government can do to
exactly.
stop you from. Yeah, so I thought that was the biggest thing I got out of that. It was amazing. About 10,000
yeah.
tractors.
Yep. Yeah, it was. It was pretty neat.
Well, it kind of occurs to me when you think about it that, you know, we talk about a lot of these different things, and you know, God repeatedly throughout the Bible refers to his people as sheep, and we're talking about the pastures the sheep feed from, you know, and how they're trying to destroy the sheep, and then they're trying to destroy the sheep folds where people live. They want to put everybody into basically a stall, you know. John has brought that up many, many times, Agenda 21. And then we look at the fact that the other thing that there seems to be a massive attack on is the lambs that belong to the sheep. I mean, the children, you know, they're selling body parts, and they're murdering the unborn, and I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And you can see, to me, it's just a warfare tactic. We've talked about asymmetric warfare on multiple times, and you know, this is another one of, this is an offensive. They're not doing a defense. This is an offensive, and they are pretty much attacking on all fronts, you know, which is usually I don't really care whether you know, watch Star Wars, read books, so whatever military training you want to do, a massive offensive like this is usually an all-out, last-ditch, you know, push. I mean, so I couldn't help but think the verse that I woke up thinking about this morning, and ties in with the one John had, was Psalms 9:19-20, and it says, "Arise, O Lord, do not let man prevail. Let the nations be judged before you. Put them in fear, O Lord. Let the nations know that they are but men." And it's like, we're talking about an international situation where they're attacking everyone, and Lord, put them in fear of you. You know, I mean, they're not gonna be able to bring their plans to fruit, but they're still making that all out push. You know, don't you think?
Yeah, it makes sense. Hello?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody still there?
You know what's interesting too is you probably heard Todd Starnes, not Stearns, Starnes on Fox News. Basically, he's a Christian commentator that was a little bit like Paul Harvey, but not quite. And anyways, he had a spot on right around noontime, and a lot of times it was on AM radio during the Rush Limbaugh show, so he got a lot of notoriety from the things that he did, and he bring to light, you know, some of the stuff that we talked about as well on coffee and Saturday mornings. But what I found interesting here was Fox News dropped him, just flat out dropped him, because he dared to bring out the truth that the liberals are worshiping the pagan god Moloch. And he said, make no mistake, this is a battle between good and evil. And because he brought that out, which we brought out many years ago, or pastor brought it out many years ago, they dropped him just like that. So, I mean, and then, you know, you see, just like you, Tim, hinted about earlier, basically, you know, they're admitting. Now, these things are illegal by the laws of the land as far as selling body parts and selling stem cells and using them to enhance flavors in foods by Pepsi and Kraft and Nestle. But these people don't fear prosecution because it is a religion to them. That, you know, the sacrifice of the children through abortion is probably why, at least a big reason why, that the enemies of God have such power over us. Number one, because we allow it to take place. But number two, there's power in that sacrifice. I mean, we've seen in the Bible the stories of the sacrifice of children or innocent blood that was shed for to gain victory in a battle, and that's what finally people are starting to wake up to understand, that we're in a spiritual warfare, that, you know, this battle can't be won in the ballot box, it can't be won through the Congress, it can't be won through any judicial means. It has to be won in the spiritual realm, and the only way to win it is by turning back to God. Then God will give us the victory, just like he did throughout the Old Testament. And the good news is, I think that there's people waking up to that fact. The other thing was that Planned Parenthood basically admits that they lobby in Hollywood for movies and TV shows and things like that to promote abortion. Now, that's significant if you think about it. These things that are coming to the light, most people wouldn't believe it. But they're confessing these things with their own mouths.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. So they're condemning themselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
So it's not a matter of conspiracy theory anymore. It's not a matter of hearsay. It's these people are bold. I mean, it's, you know, the parable of the wheat and the tares. These people are boldly proclaiming these things that they're doing that are even against man's law, not to mention God's law, and bragging at the fact that they can get away with it. So if that's not an answer to prayer, I don't know what is.
Yeah, the choice
is being... Yeah, it is an answer. I was talking with Tim yesterday about it, you know, and it's like you see these things and it's like, who do these people think that they are, you know? You see, it's like, okay, you hear on the news, okay, Bayer agreed to pay $2.8 million for this, and it's like, so, you know, on a judgment. So when does a company, a corporation like this, get to agree to pay for something that they're getting gone after? It's, you know, they've become like giants in the land, and, you know, they think that they're untouchable, and they put themselves above the law of the land and above God.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure.
Well, the maker of, they're exposing Ritalin. That all of these kids who committed these mass murders were on Ritalin. And there's actually been Eli Lilly, the company that makes it, and then there's several other, every one of these antidepressants, there's witness after witness of people who say when they were on these things, they had suicidal tendencies, for one, but they started to not care about human life. They started to not care even about their families and their children. And there's case after case of mothers who were put on these drugs who all of a sudden wanted a divorce, all of a sudden walked away from their children, all of a sudden signed off any kind of guardianship to their children. So all of these things are starting to come to the light. And the other thing was that the drug companies said they've paid out huge settlements, just like you say, Jason, millions and billions or whatever it is of dollars to shut these people up so that they can continue to produce these drugs that are destroying society. Well, if you think about it, what are they doing? This isn't just these mass murders. What are they trying to accomplish? They're trying to accomplish disarming the American people is what they're trying to do. And that's worth any amount of money to them.
Yes, yeah, it is. It's I've seen a little post here a while back, and it said, you know, Cain killed Abel with a rock. God blamed the rock, God blamed Cain, right? Yeah. So, well, we want to blame the rock, or not we, but they do. They want to blame the rock and ban rocks instead of It's back to that Ritalin thing and a lot of this drug pharmakia, which is nothing more than, you know, sorcery or witchcraft. But, you know, the beginning of healing between your soul and God is recognition of the fact that you sinned, that you have erred in your life or in your way. And then the second step is asking for forgiveness and receiving it from your God. And those drugs, they interrupt that process in a way that only allows you to blame everyone else, or you lose all empathy and you don't care about anyone else or how whatever you do affects anyone else. And the final result seems to be, at least, that you want to take as many of them with you as you can. You know, so it's a damnable thing when you look at it that way.
Well, one of the things that's happened in the drug industry too, for the last, you know, 15 to 20 years, they've been given these opiates and painkillers out liberally, basically overprescribed them to the point of doctors were instructed, you know, not to tell anybody that they even be addicted to it. You know, and it's happened time and time again. They've come out with a new drug, and this is less addicting, but it's going to help your pain more. And they've been doing that for the last, I would say 20 years, very liberally. And in as far as the VA is concerned, as far as the hospital is concerned, as far as the doctors are concerned, we've got a record number of people that are on antipsychotic, psychotropic drugs. And Ritalin is one of those. They've been passing that stuff out, and basically it was the cure-all for every time somebody went to the doctor with a child. Oh, have you tried Ritalin? Try Ritalin. I mean, and they got to the point where people were taking their children to doctors asking for Ritalin. And they've had that on.
Giving it to the kids without the parents' permission.
Exactly. So it's been going on, and that's been going on for 20 years. You've had people all across. You got a huge part of society that is on these drugs. And now they come out, and now there's a drug shortage. Well, what happens when you take a society that you have addicted and dependent upon drugs, and then all of a sudden you remove their drugs for them and they can't get drugs?
Zombie class.
Causes these people to become zombies and to go mad and to go crazy and to be irritable and to be angry and to not think right. You know, you're talking about a dependent amount of people. Just recently, the VA that's responsible for supplying their drugs to their veterans, you know, they were so far behind they couldn't even get drugs to send out. And people that are planning on, the VA gives enough drugs every month. They send them out at the beginning of the month. They have enough to get you through the month. And there's basically a one-day time lapse. By the time that you get your old bat, you get through what you've been prescribed. They don't give you any extras. And they went from that to a 10-day time lapse in that. And there was a lot of people that were angry. They say it caused a lot more suicides than normal. Because there was people that, you know, needed their, that were addicted to painkillers and were in pain, granted, and needed something to control their pain. Well, all of a sudden, after being in pain for a week, you know, and not being able to get any relief, they couldn't deal with it anymore. You know, and that's one of the things that's going on in society. And it's like you sit back and you look at it and it's like, okay, you're trying to tell me that they didn't see this coming, that there's a drug shortage with everything that they've got figured out, that all of a sudden that we're walking into a drug shortage blind.
Plus it's hurting their bottom line. So think about that.
Yep.
It's hurting their bottom line, you know, so it's
exactly.
Not just about money.
It is. So
think about this.
Definitely by design.
Yeah. So think about this. So what is it that they're trying to do to disarm the American people now, or make it where you cannot own a gun? If you've had any mental health history, how many of these children have a record of being given Ritalin or any of these other drugs for depression? Guess what? All of a sudden now they're on a list that they can't purchase weapons. That's their ultimate goal. We all know that. They can't take over this country unless they disarm the American people. And they're diabolical, if you think about it, at how they're doing it.
That's right. If they can't disarm you and I, they will plan on disarming our children. And if they can't get this generation that we are in, they will get, or at least attempt to get, the next generation. And you know, the truth you guys speak, you know, getting a generation on drugs, getting to where, you know, when you're on drugs, you can't own firearms later. It comes full circle, and it shows you the, like you had mentioned earlier, John, that it's not a conspiracy theory. It's just fact, the way that it is, and the things that are coming to light, like that. The common denominator of the majority of these mass shooters in our society are on these drugs, these psychotropic drugs, either antidepressants. You know, we had a run, there was a run there of mothers killing their children, driving their vans into the lake, or, you know, driving off the cliff and doing things like that. And common denominator, these antidepressants. And so those are, it's coming to light that is one of the, you know, one of the leading factors for this. Again, it you know, by their fruits. What are the fruits that come of these? Even when you read them, when you see the ads in magazines, you know, for these things, you have 3 pages of small print that basically tell you that, you know, if you take this antidepressant, it might make you depressed and suicidal. They take 3 pages to tell you that. And it's just bad fruit. Again, it comes back to, what are the fruits? The fruits are stealing, killing, and destroying. And that does not come from our Lord. That does not come from the abundant life that He desires for us. It comes from making that choice to turn elsewhere.
Well, you think about, you know, I brought it out in several messages over the years, but the bottom line is that most adults are on anywhere from 2 to 12 prescriptions. I mean, in my little stint in the hospital for that rash the other night,
basically they ask you if you're on any medications, and you tell them no, and they can't believe it. They're like,
right.
Well, come on, you got to be something, you know? And
right.
I said, no, I'm not on anything. And the other thing I've noticed is I've talked to some elderly people, some that are, you know, 90. I think I talked to one that was 89, one that was 90, one that was 91. And you get to talking to them, and they're on no prescription drugs. They're healthy. Their minds are still clear. They can think rationally. They still live at home. They still take care of themselves, but they're not on any prescription drugs. Wonder what the correlation is there.
Right.
You know they want to kill the elderly. There's no doubt about it. They've all but admitted that as well.
Right. Well, they do over in the European nations. You know, they call it assisted suicide and all their different terms for it. But they do. We've come full circle with that as well.
You know, the thing people don't understand too is that they're going as far as these green psychotic demons is what they are. We need to start eating the flesh of the people that are dying. I mean, they made a movie in the 70s, Soylent Green, which was exactly that. When you got to a certain point in your life, they'd send you to this euphoria laboratory, and they would create the dream of your choice, so you would kind of live out your fantasy or whatever, and then they'd kill you, euthanize you, and turn you into food for the people. Now, I'm not recommending you see the movie, but what I'm saying is this is not science fiction anymore. The things that these people are putting forth is cannibalism, it's infanticide. I mean, all of these things that you wouldn't believe, you know, 10 years ago even, that they would be coming to the forefront. They're not hiding anymore. They're bringing them right to the forefront.
Absolutely. There was some gal was on at an AOC town hall meeting, and she stood up and was talking about, to save the planet, you have to eat the babies. That was just recently. You know, I mean,
yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh wow. Yeah. So.
But see, that was a setup in a way, if you look at it, because I read about it. But here's the thing: when she openly said that in front of that forum, not one person said, "You're crazy. You're psychotic. You need help." You know. Nothing like that. They didn't defend. They didn't, you know, they didn't try to deny it.
Right.
See, that's the thing that people need to realize, is that these people are in agreement with these psychotic.
Right. And John, they understand us. They study us like lab rats. And they know that the more they can mention these things, the more they can put it into the public consciousness, just like this pedophilia ring with Epstein and Clinton and all this, that it was brought up to the forefront and it was out to everybody, then all of a sudden all this other starts happening. But you know, it's still kind of circling around out there, and it's brought up periodically to get people to normalize it, to get people to think of it as normal behavior. We saw that happening with the homosexuality. We've seen it with this transgenderism, to where, this Christian doctor in the United Kingdom, a 30-year doctor, was fired because he wouldn't call this man Mrs. And so we've come to that because they want that normalized. That's what they're pushing with this pedophilia now, and they're starting to push it with this cannibalism. It's the latest rebellion, the latest whatever flavor of the week, you might say, that the more they can get it into the public consciousness. When we were in high school, you didn't have queers that were out and about. You didn't have abortion. You didn't have Planned Parenthood that was out and about. Now, were there homosexuals? Probably. But you know what? They stayed in the closet. And was there abortion? Yes, there was. God forgive us. There was. But it wasn't, you know, a form of birth control the way it is today. It wasn't where you had actresses that are praised for saying, oh yes, I had two abortions. Where would my Hollywood career be without them? You know, that type thing. And it's because the enemy has succeeded in bringing this more and more. And, oh, you don't believe in this? Oh, you're intolerant. You're a hater. You're a racist. You're a bigot. And they throw these terms out. And because the so-called Christians don't understand the power of prayer, they don't understand the authority in Jesus' name, they you know, they're comfortable in their sin, and we've allowed it. Guys, let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, everyone. This is Suzanne from New York.
Good morning, Suzanne.
And I wanted to mention that we have already all the life-aborted fetal tissue as food, as flavor enhancers in our food. We have to go to, for example, Google. You can find a complete list about the companies that use this fetal tissue as flavor enhancers. Yeah.
Yes.
It's really bad.
Yes. You know,
the
Suzanne,
best is if anybody can grow your own food, keep your own seeds,
yes.
You know your farmer next door that you can get your meat from. It's really relying on each other and being there for one another, because you can't trust anybody out there anymore. Cuomo is passing as of January 1st, 2020, where to the cartel will have, so to speak, open market. They get a slap on their hand when they get caught, and they are back out to do what they do. To entice our youth and keep them hooked on all the drugs. So, yeah. It's truly the end times, and prayer is so needed.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, this used to be a conspiracy theory that they were using the aborted embryo cells for flavor enhancing in food, but it's no longer a conspiracy theory. This stuff has been brought out and proven and even admitted by the company Seminex, and Stem Express is the ones that basically supply the fetal stem cells.
Exactly.
To these. Well, actually, Stem Express supplies the cells to Seminex. But, I mean, you know, what does the Bible say? People forget what Deuteronomy 28 says. It says you'll eat your children, you know? If we're not going to be a God-fearing nation that follows His laws, commandments, statutes, then what did the Bible say? You know, the first 15 verses of Deuteronomy 28, and if you haven't read it in a while, I suggest you read it. I think I brought it up.
Yeah, He told us we will eat our children.
My Bible study, Wednesday Bible study, had never read Deuteronomy 28, and I said, you know, the first 15 verses are all the blessings that God promises to bestow upon His people if we keep His laws, statutes, and commandments. But 16 through 68 are all the curses that God said He would put upon us if we don't. And there's one thing, there's only one thing that God can't do, and that's lie. So anything that's in the Holy Word of God, the Bible, is truth. And if it says that He would do this to His people if we don't do what He tells us to do, then He will do it.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's right.
They, you know, as mainstream Christendom says, you know, the law was put away with, but you don't really hear this as much anymore as we used to. You know, we can only pray for that awakening, you know, that those laws are very alive and active and needed in these times.
Amen.
Amen.
Suzanne, thank you for calling and sharing that this morning.
Thank you so very much. God bless you all.
And you. God bless.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Amen.
Yeah, I remember it was about 7 years ago when they started coming out, and that's when Nestle and Pepsi and stuff. And, you know, I used to have a Pepsi once in a while. That's what I like to drink. And, you know, me and Dad and Monty, we always, that's what kind of what we had. And, you know, people tell us, oh, well, it's got high fructose corn syrup in it or something. Well, we didn't drink that much of it, you know, and once in a while. But when they came out with doing the fetal tissue in there, You know, I thought, at first when I heard it, I thought this is crazy, and I did some research into it, and I'm like, okay, and it's like, I'm not going to drink another one. And, you know, you get convicted on some of that stuff, and it was just, I mean, and that's just the way it is. It's like, you got to make a stand somewhere. And back then it was, you know, there was, I was telling people about it and telling people about what I had heard and stuff like that, and they just like, uh-huh, yeah, okay, all right, yeah, you really think that's going on? And they just shrug you off, and they think you're nuts. And, you know, it's as time has gone on, it's, you know, more and more stuff has come out on it. You know, and I was
remember
thinking
how
about
Dad
it.
Would say, remember how Dad would say about all the missing children, right? Thousands and thousands of missing children.
Oh, yeah.
Were you know? And then how the song was, oh, I wish I was an Oscar Mayer wiener, you know? And there's no doubt that they're putting some of these children into the meats and all that. But it's again, it's fulfillment of what God said he would do if we didn't do what he told us to do. But like Suzanne says, there's a list of all of these products, and there's no reason that we couldn't just boycott them completely. We don't need any of them. None of these are essential for life. All Pepsi soft drinks, Sierra Mist soft drinks, Mountain Dew soft drinks, Mug Root Beer and other soft drinks, No Fear beverages. How many are guilty of drinking energy drinks? Ocean Spray beverages, Seattle's Best Coffee, Tazo beverages, Amp Energy beverages, Aquafina water, Aquafina flavor beverages, Double Shot. I mean, it just, the list goes on, and then Nestle products, all coffee creamers, Maggie brand, instant soups, bouillon cubes, ketchup, sausage, seasoning, instant candy, almost all of the gum, Blackjack, chewing gum, Chiclets, Clorets, Dentine, Freshen Up gum, Trident, Stride, I mean, the list, it's worth going through and looking up the list and at least doing the most, the best that we can to stay away from it. And, you know, the other thing we didn't talk about is they've proven now that these embryo stem cells are in vaccines. The MMR vaccines.
Yes.
Proquat, Verifax, Penicel, Vacta, Pavrix, Twinrix, Zodrzyx, I mean, all of these. So, like Suzanne says, it truly is, you know, what the Bible would describe as the last days.
And the importance of prayer.
Yeah, it's almost, you know, you think about those people that are doing these things, and it's you know, it's like the, you know, an alien race that looks like people that are not people. They come in and slither in and take control and start doing these things and start eating people. I mean, it's like the invasion of the body snatchers. And it's you know, if you think about it, I mean, that's exactly what it's right. I was thinking about it when you were reading Deuteronomy 28. I was reading Deuteronomy 32, and I think Deuteronomy 32:21 gives a really good explanation of it. The New American Standard Version says, "They have made me jealous with what is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their idols, so I will make them jealous with those who are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation." The King James says, "They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not of God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation." And that word, that phrase right there just keeps standing out to me, with those that are not a people. They are not a people. They're not a people. Well, we're God's people. We're his chosen people. And these people are not, we call them people. They're not people. They're aliens. They're sons of hell.
Yep.
Right.
Aliens amongst us. Yep.
That's right. That's right.
Pastor had a couple series about those things that, you know, at first people thought he was off his rocker and screw loose and everything else, but until you start reading in the Bible, well, what does the Bible say? Just like you said, there are people that are not a people.
Right.
And you know what? If you have the laws of God written on your heart, you can't do these things. That's the other thing people don't understand. And finally, you know, thank God, the Holy Spirit's given us these talking points, you know, and most of the time it's when you shut up and you let the Spirit speak through you. But the things that that God's bringing to mind, especially like in these morning Bible studies that I have on Wednesday morning and stuff,
are things that these people can relate to. They're things, I think, there's certain key phrases, certain words, certain scriptures that you can bring to these people, and it breaks the spell. The spell that's on the land, it's going to be broke spiritually. So, but it's up to each one of us to fulfill the Great Commission and to go out and to stop just going along with everything that's going on. And so, you know, if we want a great awakening, it's going to take every one of us to share the truth of the things that are going on, like this food additive thing. We need to be proclaiming that to everyone and say, you know what, it's not conspiracy theory anymore. This is by their own admittance that they're using these things. And a wake-up call. One of the best things that you can do to make people aware of their religion of abortion is to explain to them what they used to do with Moloch. And they start to say, wow, you know, I never thought of that before.
That's right.
But these are the things that we're going to have to do if we want an awakening in this country.
That's right, because it's not taught anywhere else. It's not taught in the Sunday schools. It's not taught in the mainstream churches. You know, the mainstream churches are, hey, God loves you and wants you to prosper, and it's those type things that are being put forth, and not Deuteronomy 28, not the Song of Moses, Deuteronomy 32. Those two chapters, if they were adhered to, you know, those are the cliff notes of the Bible, of all of it. They really are.
I think that's a great place to start. 7:14. You know, when my people who are called by, if my people, I should say, because that's what it is, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. But you need to keep reading. Read the rest of 2 Chronicles. Read 15 through 18. And basically, it's the Reader's Digest version of Deuteronomy 28.
Amen.
Basically, if we do what he says,
amen,
he'll bless us. If we don't, we won't.
Amen.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, the fact that you got people coming out on national radio and TV saying that this is a battle of good versus evil. And you've got more, I don't know if you noticed, but you've got more and more people calling them demon rats or demoncrats. You know, people are starting to understand the fact that this is a battle of good versus evil.
Absolutely. The power of words that are described, you know, and put to that.
So it's exciting times we're living in. I mean,
it is.
You go through the headline anymore, and it's just, it's amazing, but you can also see that God's working in a mighty way to expose these people. And you know what? When all the truth's out there, then you can't say that I didn't know, you know? You can't say. And that's what God's going to make sure that there's nothing going to deliver you from these people who aren't a people, just like Jason said, but the blood of Jesus. That's it.
Amen.
Well, I encourage everybody to read Deuteronomy. There's a lot, so much stuff in there, and it's like so much of the stuff that we're talking about right now is pertaining to the times that we're living in. Deuteronomy 32:17 says, "They sacrificed to demons, not to God. To gods they had not known, to newly arrived gods, which your fathers did not fear." And you know, it's pretty evident that's exactly what's going on.
Amen.
Yeah. On a positive note, there was a story the other day about a man who was an atheist his whole life, who was in the hospital, just about ready to die, and in a wheelchair, on oxygen, and realized the importance of baptism, that he needed to repent and turn to God and be baptized for the remission of sins. And the chaplain was scrambling, trying to figure out how to baptize this man who's in a wheelchair, who's on oxygen. And anyways, the fact was that he repented and he was baptized for the remission of sins, and within hours he died. So let that be a lesson to the remnant out there, because I know there's a lot out there that are still stubborn, can't get it through their head, even if that have been on the ministry for, or members of the body for 25 years, that have not been properly baptized. Without, number one, without repentance, it means nothing. But the bottom line is, you can say that, oh, there's always time. Well, no, there's not, because tomorrow's not promised to any of us. And if you're convicted, then you need to get it done, and you need to get it done as soon as possible. It's not something that you should schedule from 6 months from now or a year from now.
Amen.
It needs to be done when the conviction is there.
Amen. Yeah, it may not, the absolute end of days may not be here, but your end. The Bible says none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. None of us are. We had, Tuesday, had a fatality wreck just 3 miles up the road from the ranch. A massive five-vehicle pileup. And one of the truck drivers burned to death. And, who knows? Didn't know him personally. Certainly prayed for his family, but... he was not in the wrong. He's driving, doing just, what he's supposed to be doing. And it was his end. And so, folks, you just never know. You never know. So as John said, you need to read the Word. Like Jason said, read Deuteronomy 28. You don't take our word for it. Read Deuteronomy 28. Read Deuteronomy 32. And 2 Chronicles 7:14. And then Acts 2:38. And see what it is that you need to do. You have to do more than believe. You have to do more than believe. You have to put that belief into action, into work, and do what the Bible says. It tells us we are to be doers of the Word. And John, like you said, that yes, definitely baptism. To be born again, to be clothed in Christ, to share in the glory of His death so you can share in the glory of His resurrection, to get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And it starts with belief and then repentance, and it goes from there. So, well, men, we are all but out of time. Well, thank everybody for joining us. And Remnant, we invite you to come to church tomorrow, and you can do that starting at 8:30. Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, and that's 7:30 out on the West Coast at scripturesforamerica.org. And you can tune in there, go to scripturesforamerica.org, click on the live video stream starting at those times, and join us. Gather together with like-minded Christians. And we'll have a review of the news, topic similar to what we've talked about this morning, and a timeless pulpit truth. You'll hear some prophecy spoken that more than likely you have seen come true in these last few years. And John, looking forward to your live message, and we'll have communion. We'll take time to remember, to judge ourselves, not each other, and remember what our Lord and Savior has done for us. So we encourage you to do that, to join us. We've got people traveling from hours away, specifically tomorrow, coming to see us and to join in. So we hope you'll join us too. And we'll see you there.
Rolling, 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 stay calm.
This country stolen, keep on rolling over Snake High. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, Snake High.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over Snake High. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, Snake High.
Ride
them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out,
ride them more, snake hide.
Move though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, barking will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out.